I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I'm drinking tea. If it's good enough for me, it's good enough for you, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Senegal are in the final and Honduras struggle in Minnesota. It's Thursday, 3rd of February. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Andy Brassel.
And I'm Luke Moore.
Welcome, one and all. Good to have you with us. It's a thrilling Thursday with Luke, Andy and me. My goodness, Andy, you're looking fabulous. How are you, darling?
I'm pretty good. I'm wondering if I'm suffering from some sort of low-grade tinnitus, though, because I felt that there was crowd noise on the intro music. You know, like...
That's Marcus Mount.
It's just the energy that Marcus brings to it.
Yeah, it could be. It could be.
It could be. How you doing, bruv Nick? Lukey,
right.
Baby?
I'm all right, thanks.
Yeah, all right.
I've been in this week, first time.
That's good to have you.
Listeners were absolutely silent about it. They were... but I thought I'd come in anyway.
It makes a change from a dirty protest.
It does,
get Luke off the back on the show. It's a silent protest.
It is.
The good people of Senegal certainly wanted you in to talk about them reaching another AFCON final.
That's not true either.
They've got their first title in their sights.
I said, I'll come in on Thursday. Have you did a business, Senegal? An incentive for you.
A good deal all round, I think you'll agree, everybody. Yeah. They beat Burkina Faso 3-1.
Yeah, and then I was like, oh, I've got to come in now.
I mean, some consider Senegal the sort of the great underachievers of this tournament, certainly in recent
years. They've never won it, have they?
They've never won it.
Yeah.
I'd like to throw Ghana in this. You know the last time Ghana won the tournament?
Go on.
1982.
Yeah.
You think about the quality they've had.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and look, we're from a country we know all about underachieving.
Absolutely. I mean, that goes to show you in a tournament. I mean, you do need a little bit of luck. You need the draw to go your way. You need to peak at the right time, all the rest of it. Look at how successful a team like Egypt have been, for example.
Well, absolutely.
They've almost, not dominated, but they've won 7 times, something like that.
Yeah, well, look at Ivory Coast with the talent they had.
It took them ages to get there.
They needed to call MacGyver himself, Harvey Renard, and they got their victory.
I don't think, for those listening, I don't think Harvey Renard was also MacGyver.
I mean, if that the chap who played MacGyver, I can't remember.
But it's a weird reference, Marcus, because MacGyver was well known for being stuck in a building with the police all around him and him making a plane out of sticky back plastic and flying out.
Was he
the,
not the guy
factory?
You call if you're in it? He was a bit like the A-Team, but in one gun.
Also, having your shirt buttoned down to your navel is not particularly practical when you're, you know, building a war machine in a shed, is it?
Well, do yours up then. What are we doing here if we're not building a war machine in the shed? A war machine of audio.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. Sadio Mane, of course, was heavily involved in the victory, as he would be. I mean, Senegal, they tend to have a bit of a late flourish, don't they? Take it easy. And
it was 0-0 at half-time, was it not?
It was 0-0 for the first, 69, 70 minutes. Aliou Cissé, their head coach, he's very pragmatic. And he's all about, let's just get the job done. And I think when it comes to tournament football, especially if you've never won the tournament, you can't really blame him for that, of course. He's the third ever African coach to take a team to consecutive finals, by the way. And he was a part of the Senegal team that reached the country's first AFCON final in 2002, where they lost to Cameroon in a penalty shootout. And he actually missed one of the penalties as well. So, I mean, there's a touch of the Gareth Southgate's about him, if you see what I mean.
I mean, he played famously. Who could forget the spell he had at Portsmouth as well?
Yes, absolutely.
Which has probably influenced him a great deal.
Yeah, I forgot he was there. Of course
I'll take him back now. I'll take him back right now.
On the pitcher in the dugout.
Player or current condition. Yeah. But were you going to go on to say that they've kind of left it late in a lot of their games? Because they had a bit of a weird group phase, didn't they, Senegal? They won one, drew two. It didn't look that amazing.
No.
They still managed to top the group, even though they only got 5 points. But it was a bit of a strange group.
This is after the red herring of Italy. We're going back to the modern way of winning international tournaments, aren't we?
Building slowly.
Because like a lot of the favourites, obviously, by this stage, have gone by the wayside, but a lot of the favourites went awry earlier than we thought they would, notably Algeria, I suppose.
Yeah.
And a lot of the teams who we've expected to hit hard in this tournament haven't at all.
But you do see in tournaments, generally international tournaments, you'll always get, and hopefully Mark will back me up on this, you always get like a team who is fancied but doesn't perform that well in the group and then as a result gets a really tough second round game. And the example I would say for this tournament would be Ivory Coast playing Egypt, which, you know, for those of us who are casual watchers of African football, you would say, okay, that's a bit of a shame that they're playing meeting so early.
Yeah.
And then, of course, they both stink the place anyway and Egypt winning penalties. But yeah, so I think it always does naturally happen that certain teams do fall by the wayside. But I'm pleased for Senegal, chiefly because they never won it. They've got a good team. They've got some really good players. That next semi-final, which I believe is tonight, right, is Cameroon-Egypt, which will be really interesting as well.
Well, that's a huge one, yeah. I mean, you look at the two sides of the draw. I mean, whoever gets through that, I mean, if Egypt get to the final, they'll have beaten Ivory Coast, albeit on penalties. You know.
Beaten Morocco as well.
Yeah, but the thing is that if you're going to win a tournament, invariably you're going to have to win a penalty shootout. They've gone Ivory Coast, Morocco, Cameroon.
Yeah.
That is a tough...
They will be battle harder than the final.
That is a tough route to the final. And then, of course, they've got the tournament favourite, Senegal. I think the tournament favourites waiting for them. Whereas Senegal themselves had Cape Verde, Equatorial Guinea and Burkina Faso. Now, to be honest with you, you know, you take that. It's not a disrespect to those sides. But they are inferior. I mean, Burkina Faso have had a great account of themselves and perhaps are one of the sort of slightly underrated sides when it comes to the African Cup of Nations. Because, as I say, often people outside of Africa don't know too much about them. Mm. But Senegal, you know, they did well. And Mane, you know, he created the second very well, got the third. Lovely little finish, little dink to round
that,
it off.
Mane's great at that. Mm. He's great at,
late on, and he's got a clean run.
Well, what happened?
He's not messing
but to have that much in the tank, I think.
Exactly. Yeah, and you know, they're 2-1 up, and that means Burkina Faso have got a push. It's knockout football, right? There's no point. Mm. You might as well go home 3-1 if you're going to go home 2-1. Yeah. And they leave a lot of space. And then Mane's just absolutely ruthless. Absolutely ruthless.
He's now joint top scorer for Senegal all time with Henry Cameron, 29 goals.
Oh, Henry Cameron, I remember him.
Played in the final.
Played for Wolves, no?
Yeah, and Wigan. Yeah.
Okay,
I mean, if
he went for big money in the Premier League a while back.
Oh, I think he did, yeah.
He scored goals in the Premier League.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Much like Mane. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, if he could get the 30th in the final, that would be quite something. Senegal had two penalties chalked off by VAR in the first half. There was a bit of controversy about the decisions being given, but the referee, Bamlek Tesema Wayesa, he made the right calls, and people are actually praising him. And credit where credit's due, because some of the refereeing has had a lot of scrutiny at the African Cup of Nations.
Yeah, I thought one of them was, I mean, maybe it's easier, much easier for me sat on my sofa with a packet of crisps, watching it in slow motion, but the one that he was overturned, which hit the Burkina Faso
elbow.
I thought that was weird that he gave that. Because his arm wasn't out and he was kind of turning his back, and then he gives him a yellow card as well, which I guess he probably have to do by protocol.
But that's where you want VAR, because that quick decision, we've seen referees over the years give those, and you kind of go, oh, I did hit his arm, I can sort of see it was a block. He's used VAR very well.
But he shouldn't be being praised for making the mistake in the first place, should he?
No, but in the current climate, people criticise VAR, don't they? And they criticise referees' use of VAR. Well, his use of VAR was very good.
Yeah, but I don't think referees are criticised enough. That's what right. I'm saying.
Yeah, I know you don't think that. Andy, all we want is consistency, for crying out loud. That's all we want from
us an opinion, Andy,
We want our athlete, we want every team and every player to be consistent.
Yeah.
So everyone finishes with the same points every time.
Robots. That's right. Just robots.
A series of 0-0 draws and Jonathan Wilson will be happy at least. Yeah.
I'd like it scripted. So you know what you're going to get. If you want to read ahead, you can.
Very true. Very true.
Are England going to win the World Cup? No. Well, I won't bother then.
Yes. Yeah. Well, we know that usually is the case. But anyway, this game, though, you could say it added meaning for Burkina Faso, the backdrop of a military coup going on in their home country. So,
of course.
Yeah, so that was quite...
The manager gave a very kind of...
he did.
Emotional kind of... I don't know if emotional is the right word, but a very kind of poignant post-match interview.
Mm-hmm.
Camus Malo.
But they could have easily been distracted.
Of course.
By that, but actually they gave a good account of themselves and it
right to the end.
Yep. Yes, exactly. But into the final, it's Senegal and they will play Egypt or the host Cameroon. Big.
Look forward to that one tonight. Indeed. And we'll talk about tomorrow, I expect.
I expect so. In the North American qualifiers, the USA beat Honduras 3-0 in Minnesota. A lot of controversy about where the game was played because the temperature at kickoff was -16 degrees with the added wind chill that goes down or up, depending on how you look at it, to -25 degrees. Players were allowed to wear balaclavas to protect themselves against the cold.
Yeah.
I mean, that is gamesmanship to the...
I mean, it's hardly unforeseeable, is it? Mm. Minnesota in February.
Yes. Yeah. Well, but they knew what they were doing. They purposely put it there to give themselves an advantage.
No, they said it was about travel time, didn't they?
Did they?
Yeah.
I think you're both right. I mean, it's a combination of those things. Because the USA coach or someone representing the USA did say, well, when we go to play in Honduras, it's occasionally very, very warm, 99% humidity, and it's clear to their advantage. So we want to play here. But what he also said was, it's travel time makes it convenient for us, which I think is a bit of a bullshit excuse because there's lots of different places you can go. And secondly, they also said, look, we had to organise this game with a certain amount of notice, obviously, because you've got to organise the game. And the average temperature for this time of year is this.
Yeah.
But actually, they've had a nor'easter in the US, the first one of the year, which makes it much, much colder. It's affecting all across the New England as well. I personally believe... that it's preposterous to play a game in those conditions. When you're talking about players, potentially taken off at halftime because of hypothermic symptoms, for example, we don't know the detail of that at the moment, but 200 players went off because of their reaction to the extreme cold. It's just, you've got to look at player welfare. The referee, for example...
That's what the referee is there for.
Yeah, that's his first responsibility.
That is absolutely what the
so I think
there is
using the conditions to your advantage. Mm. You know, how many times have, poor old Paul Scholes been sunburnt and not been able to play properly, right? But, and then there's that. And I think that's taking it too far, and I don't agree with it. And I think it's actually wrong, particularly when you take into account the Honduras are already out anyway.
Yeah.
There's nothing for them to play for.
Well, they could have gone down to Inter Miami, have Fizzer in the game and enjoyed a bit of warmth there.
That's going too far.
That is going too far.
Yeah. Fizzer, Iggy Pop. That's what international football's all about, isn't it?
One of the bits of detail that people are pointing out here is that Honduras was so averse to it, they didn't even send the whole squad out for the warm-up.
Really?
They only sent 11 players out for the warm-up because they just didn't want to risk the players.
I think it's madness. And people will say, yeah, but what about in Bolivia? They play their home games in La Paz, which is, of course, at altitude and so on. There has been chat in CONMEBOL about this, about games at altitude and so on. Now, I don't know what the latest is with that. But, I mean, La Paz is the capital city. So
and that's always at the same level.
The only one, I mean, I would say is in Peru when Lima is at sea level and Cusco is might even be higher
than
that.
Have a little mix and a blend.
Yeah, exactly.
What you need.
Who are we playing against? Yeah, we might...
playing Bolivia, we might as well have it in Lima then.
Yeah, exactly. But of course, nowadays, players play all over the place, so it's hard to sort of say is it an advantage or not. But I think this is taking the piss a little bit.
It's about preparation in either of those cases, isn't it? And preparation time that you very rarely have in modern football. You can't get there 2 or 3 days before in most cases, can you?
And also when they say, well, when we go to Honduras, it's humid. I mean, that is just the country's temperature. They have a right to play games in their home country. You know what I mean? So it's not like it's a huge country where they've got different microclimates all over.
For what it's worth, when Greg Berhalter says about convenience, I do I do understand that to a degree. And he's got a lot on his plate at the moment. He's coming under a lot of pressure.
He is coming under a lot of pressure.
At home. So, yeah.
Yeah. Canada maintained their 4-point lead at the top, though, 2-0 win over El Salvador. It is happening. As we said before, it has. Luke Moore, America's hat, as you often disparagingly refer.
It's not disparaging. It's affectionate. It's affectionate. It is.
You do love hats, to be fair.
I actually love Canada as well.
Yeah.
I do love Canada as well.
How
you
much?
Know that. Look, I'm dressed like a Canadian today. You know,
dressed like a Canadian.
Yeah.
Don't with your grey sweatpants on. As
oh
say.
No, that's poor by you. That's
you got
not
grey joggers. On.
That's not fair.
Gabor Kerrang.
The thing is, the thing Spur does so well is he'll pretend to be like the presentable face.
Here
of
we
the
go.
Ramble,
here we go.
And they'll tear it down to the basement whenever he feels like it.
Yeah. Oh dear, a lot of
but,
good
but
work can, gets done.
Canada
in the
have talent.
They have
a lot of talent, and we're seeing that. And you know, bearing in mind, them looking like they're almost certainly going to qualify for this World Cup now. Mm. And then you know, you think of the future host. It's very, very exciting time for Canadian football. But I don't think I've seen anything more exciting in football this week than Atiba Hutchinson scoring with his back.
Yeah,
that was
you don't
very,
see that enough.
Very impressive.
That was enjoyable
because, of course, the cross comes in. Mm-hmm. His initial effort, he sort of flings himself at the ball, hits the post. Mm-hmm. It comes back and he inadvertently backheels it onto his back and it flies in.
That's wonderful control with the back. I've not seen that kind of stuff since Ronaldinho with the back pass, remember?
Remember that, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I would say it probably comes from playing with Ricardo Quaresma at Beşiktaş. But I think that's probably directly where it was.
The greatest use of the back was now Fulham, former Fulham fullback Dennis Odoi, who the ball drops over to him. Search this is wonderful stuff, where he kind of uses his back to knock the ball past the opposition player and runs around and
love
collects
that.
The ball.
Wow.
It is sensational. He will be missed.
There was a pass by a Pompey player on TV on Monday. I forget which player it was now. He's already lying on the floor.
Yeah.
The ball comes through and he nods it through.
Did he mean that?
Yeah, I think he did.
That was very clever.
But can I go back to the point about, you know, at the risk of making this boring, Canada and the US, just to build on Andy's point, mm-hmm. They're arguably both as a foreign coach speaking English as a second language would say, they're both in a good moment, right?
Yes.
Canada are going to qualify because I think their remaining home game is against Jamaica. Mm. Jamaica have been fairly poor, so you'd fancy them to win that. I think that's enough for them if you look at how it works out. They need to go and make an impact on the World Cup now. The USA have flattered to deceive at tournaments for quite a while. They've had some moments, of course. They're going to qualify as well. I mean, it's almost certain they're going to qualify too. And Canada, it will be their first opportunity for a very long time.
I think
you need to
just
go and make an impact when you go there.
Well,
you're right, but they're at a good point to do that. I mean, if you look just not just at the quality of the players, but the point they are age-wise and in their careers, you know, you look at particularly, obviously, we've already said they've got a bit of experience inside, but they've not got Alphonso Davies available in this international break, but presumably they will when they come to the World Cup. Jonathan David, who I would imagine by the time the World Cup is going to come around, I mean, he's playing the way he's playing this season, he's going to be at a bigger club by that point, very possibly in the Premier League. So it is the right time for them.
Man, Andy, my question to you, though, is that let's assume Canada do get there, and if they drew they draw England, who's Greg Rosetsky going to be cheering?
There's 21-year-old listeners just pausing the app right now. Get onto the Wikipedia app, just typing in Greg Rosetsky. It's Rusedski for those who don't know who he is.
Respect. By the way, Big Greg, talking about climates and all the rest of it, he's going to be gutted when he sees how warm it is in Qatar.
I know
it's winter out there, but piss off.
Mason gets pissed off because everyone says it's going to be really hot. But
she was in the pocket of Qatar for a while.
There we go. That's the stuff. That's the stuff.
And so, they still defend it, don't they? Her and Keezy.
The production meeting.
Sorry, Kate.
The production meeting before the show, you just got to wind Marcus up and then let him go in the studio. Boy, who else are you going to have a pop at?
Rangers.
Okay.
Let's talk about the old firm. Celtic battered them 3-0.
Yeah, they did.
My goodness. It's the first time since 2019 that Celtic have beaten Rangers, and they go top of the league for the first time since August. I mean, to be honest with you, I honestly, when Postecoglou started for Celtic, I was concerned for them because there was a bit of a points gap between Rangers. Look at them now. They're top of the league, Andy. You've got to say he's turned it round.
Yeah, and he's had a plan that he's stuck to the whole way through, which I think has given him a bit of latitude as well. I think he's had the fans on side, obviously, from quite an early point. What I think is amazing, though, it's clear a lot of people thought this would be a development season for Celtic at the start, with the ideas he was bringing in and all the upheaval at boardroom level before. But now you actually get a sense of the sort of standards he has, because he's so stable in the way that he talks, Ange Postecoglou. He's never... What do they say? Never too high, never too low. Mm-hmm. But afterwards,
he's an Aussie sports coach.
But afterwards,
they're just bulletproof, aren't they?
Yeah. When he was talking about Rio Hatate not being in acceptable condition yet,
no, I thought that.
Yeah,
I thought
like,
that.
It's like the rest of them are in good nick, but he's got a bit of work to do. Yeah. I was like, wow,
he looks bright as a button,
and he had one of the finest first halves. Of,
yeah,
just and incredible.
I think that's a really interesting point, Annie, because I thought that when we were coming in to talk about the games, that I thought, blimey, like, I mean, I don't know how good he's going to be when he is fully fit, because he looked pretty good. Having said that, Rangers were very, very poor, particularly in the first half.
Awful first
really
half,
poor.
Yeah.
And then the game was taken away from them.
Well, that third goal as well. I mean, the third goal killed it. I mean, I don't think they would have got back into it, even if it was 2-0 at half-time. But the third goal was pretty piss poor. But often we see this in old firm games recently, that one team is just really revved up, ready to go. And yes, the home advantage can count, but we saw this with Gerrard. He'd often get the better of Celtic in league games, but even when they didn't win the league until his sort of final full season in charge. But I don't know, with Rangers signing Ramsey, you know, still top of the league despite the sloppy draw against, was it Ross County? I think Postecoglou knew the significance of this game. Like, right, they're in touching distance now. We win this, we go top. And straight from the off, you know, when Celtic Park is in that kind of mood, And Celtic, I think Rangers, they just never got going, did they?
I thought I mean, at the risk of getting myself in trouble, I thought they looked intimidated by the atmosphere, and I thought they looked a good yard off it. You could see, I can't remember exactly the minute that Hatate scored. It was very early
it was
on.
The fifth minute.
And it was the one that goes right in the corner.
Yeah.
And it was kind of a slow motion shot, really. Yeah. It was really nicely placed, but it felt like that Rangers hadn't woken up.
No.
And then after that, it becomes very difficult.
He had space for both of those hits,
very much so.
But of course, for the second one, the space was created by the speed with which Celtic moved the ball from their own half to the edge of the Rangers penalty box. But it's funny, I think if you look at the fact that Rangers had more of the ball, and it was one of those ones, it wasn't... You didn't look at the numbers afterwards and think, oh, really? Rangers had more of the ball. It was clear that they had more of the ball. But Celtic used it with
Second half.
Such great as... I know that distorts things a little bit, and Celtic saw it out very nicely in the second half. But even in the first half, it wasn't about Celtic having loads of the ball. It was about the zip with which they used it. Whereas Rangers were just a little bit more... quite ponderous for a derby environment.
I'll tell you what it reminded me of. It reminded me of when... some of the classic Klopp performances against Guardiola sides, Liverpool, Man City, when Liverpool go, particularly that 3-0, was it the second leg in the, no, first leg in the Champions League quarterfinal or something, where they just blast them.
Yeah.
And they just sit in, and you say they zip it around, but they're just tight and all the rest of it. And you're fine, you can have the ball, but you're just not getting through it. It reminded me slightly of Ben.
I think there's something to be said for that, definitely.
I also would like to say that we can't finished talking about this game without mentioning that Ryan Jack almost scored one of the great old firm derby goals.
I probably pinged that, didn't I?
That was an unbelievable hit.
It was a shame that never went in, actually.
You picked the ball up about halfway and you thought, he kept moving forward and moving forward. I thought, he's going to have a dig here. And it was an absolute beauty. He's so unlucky.
I think the thing is with that, Joe Hart, having not come within 4 foot of it, would have been muttering to himself, I had it covered.
Big
Ange Postecoglou was asked whether he dreamed about a performance as impressive as this, and he responded, "You don't know what I dream about." He actually said it like this: "You don't know what I dream about." Speaking of managerial dreams,
there you go, Canada. We're having a good Australian now.
Speaking of managerial dreams, did you see that Bayern's Julian Nagelsmann has been having some peculiar ones? He said recently, "Sometimes when I'm sleeping after a game, I call out the names of my players. My wife once told me that sometimes it wakes her up in the night."
If it's Lewandowski, you can accept it. If it's Choupo-Moting, less so, I would say.
Fair point. There are probably...
harsh on Choupo.
There are probably fans all over the world that do that. At least he's the manager.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I imagine there's a fair amount of Celtic fans probably woke up in the middle of the night.
Depends how he's saying it, though. If he's just going, Robert! That's fine. If he's going, oh, Robert... that would be a bit strange, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would, maybe.
We can only speculate.
I mean, I think it's actually good news for the Nagelsmanns, because it means that they've got the roof on their new house now, because he talked, didn't he, at length when he was at Hoffenheim about how they were building a house in Bavaria. Yeah. So if the sound's not escaping, at least it means
he's unlikely to move in without the roof
and warm
being done. If it's not the rain waking us up, Bavarian, it's him shouting out the names.
Bavarian winter. There's 4 foot of snow in this bedroom, and all you're doing is calling out players' names.
If you're a coach, you've got to lead from the front. That's all I'm saying.
He basically built a house nearby Munich so they would give him the job, didn't he? Let's be fair.
Very clever.
Yeah.
At the same time where he was wearing red coats to the games.
Yeah. A high risk investment.
That's why Andy built a house near to the studio.
It is.
We had to give him the job. All right, everybody, let's have a quick break.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Looking for your next podcast binge? Well, look no further. The Offensive is a football mockumentary that follows Premier League club Ashwood City as their money-grabbing owner and his board veer from one crisis to another. Sounds familiar. Well, things are reaching breaking point this January as Real Madrid come calling for Ashwood's star player.
Oh, and Patrick's going to accept 180 million euros for Kevin.
Wait, hang on. Woody, I'm just getting my dick out.
Ah, fuck you and your dick.
It's just getting my dick out, Woody. It's part of the negotiations. Woody, my dick.
Patrick, these are the new work experience intake for the marketing team.
Hi.
The Offensive, where the thick of it meets the Premier League. Subscribe now and enjoy more than 130 episodes.
The Offensive is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
I see it a different the way I see it, and I stand by that, and I'm very comfortable and confident in saying what I have to say.
Who would you bring in?
I don't know.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Never gets boring. It's time
He's the better Ferdinand as well.
Much
when it comes to
Ferdinand,
punting,
yeah. Absolutely. Right, it's time for emails.
Are we doing the whole one, Marcus?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, good. An email. You can Wikipedia Greg Rosetsky while this is on.
Stop talking over it.
Disrespectful.
It's an excellent reminder to rewatch Nathan Barley.
I believe it's time for emails.
Yeah, we've got one from Ollie. It says, Dear Ramblers, as a result of some questionable refereeing decisions in the Premier League, I started to think about some of the people who ref me at school, the most memorable of which was a geography teacher who had some off-piste interpretations in addition to the rules. So much so, it was rumoured that the school had never lost a match he'd refereed.
That's the good stuff.
By far, his most notable contribution to the laws of the game was his implementation of the rugby rule that dissent gets punished from a free kick moving 10 metres further up the pitch. Yeah. Time after time, we saw other schools get caught out by his additional rule. Opposition coaches used to complain, but he used to say his methods worked. No one else was ever around to referee the fixture, so nothing ever changed. One game, he stopped midway through the second half to watch a plane he liked fly overhead. Still, I'd rather have him like Kevin Friend.
Yeah. I like that one. Wait a minute. Ollie might be one of our younger listeners, so maybe he's either forgotten or he doesn't know this. I'm pretty sure that they experimented with the 10-metre punishment for dissent rule for a while in football, but they got rid of it because I guess they worked out that football isn't necessarily all about territory as much as rugby is, right?
True, yeah. By the way, reading that story just reminded me. I once played a game. We had, for a brief period, we managed to get just enough players in one of my old churches to play in the Church of England Football Championship.
A big deal, right?
It's a big nationwide thing, yeah. Apparently, I don't know whether this is true or not, but it is believable that there was one particular church who had Garth Crooks playing up front for them once, and he was meant to be amazing like many, many moons ago.
Yeah.
But we were playing this team and they were winding up the referee. And at one point, he tackled one of their players and just knocked it back to our goalkeeper. And we were just, you know, and we hammered them like 14-2 or something like that. And we were just stood there going, what?
Why has he done that?
Yeah, like, it's really, really odd. And they were winding him. He was, the referee was getting really, really angry to the point that as he did that, he walked away and our goalkeeper took the kick and it smashed off the back of the ref's head.
What, coincidentally?
Yeah. To which they all started laughing. Yeah. And then the referee grabbed the ball, just picked it up, and their lads just went over to him and went, "What are you doing? What are you doing?" And then he threw the ball down and squared up to them and went, "Were you born a fucking dickhead?"
Really?
That all happened. Yeah.
He's not got the temperament for the job.
I know.
Was he just volunteering as a ref or was he a qualified referee?
He was the local vicar.
Was he really?
No, he wasn't. I don't know who he was.
That's mad.
Isn't that a crazy set of events? I don't think I've ever said that on the pod before.
Yeah, there we go.
Oh, dearie me.
Well, craziest set of events is a new story from you on the pod.
Well. I know, but people always demand the old hits, don't they?
They do, exactly. Yeah. If you go see the Rolling Stones, you want to hear Satisfaction.
Yeah, you don't want that song he wrote over lockdown, do you?
No.
Hit me up on Zoom. So, Andy, the big news, of course, is that our Twitter followers, after a poll that we took on the Football Ramble Twitter account, our Twitter followers have decided that you're wrong and that Suarez and Cavani should play up front forever. For Uruguay. 55.8% agreed with me that they should. So we did this. Is Andy right? Is Marcus right? And it looks like the people have spoken. A landslide result. Andy, you should be thoroughly ashamed of yourself.
Yeah. I think it is
seconded,
quite,
by the way. Seconded.
Quite consistent with...
Easy!
I love you all.
This is the thing, Andy. You don't know what they want. I do, and that's why I win.
If you're going to come, he's the populist.
To paraphrase
here.
Bruno from The West Wing.
If you're going to come in here and legitimately start to make semi-sensible points about football, you will be punished. Not just by Marcus and I, but by the electorate.
Do you want to listen to Andy, or do you want to see Cavani and Suarez up top together?
Yeah,
thank you very much. Yeah, I'll see you at number 10.
I think a lot of people want to see Suarez carry on forever for punishment for all the stuff that he's done to their clubs.
Yeah, maybe
he
should have to play forever.
Yeah, indeed.
So when he gets to 70, he has to still play.
I think he'd still be going. It'd be like Homer that time when he was eating all those donuts in hell. He's just like, yeah, what? And what? Yeah. I think he'd just keep going. Anyway, he's playing for the champions of Spain, so you know, he's obviously still got a bit in the tank, Andy, but there we are. Yeah. There we are, good old people, and they're speaking. Right, so the championship. Derby were beaten 2-0. By Huddersfield. Did that happen in Athens?
Hey, a little callback to Pete Donaldson being a dickhead.
Yes. No, they've been by Huddersfield, 2 late goals. And it's strange to see Derby losing. I just thought they were going to keep on winning and they were going to go all the way to the playoffs.
They haven't won in 3 now.
Yeah.
And one of those was obviously a big Derby game against... they're all big Derby games because they're Derby, but a big Derby game against... local Derby game against Forest. And Huddersfield are having a good season. They are... define all expectations.
It's incredible. Yeah.
They really are,
a big part of the playoff picture now.
Wayne Rooney had some interesting things to say before the game. He told the media that he felt other clubs had taken advantage of Derby's difficult situation and bought players at much lower value. They lost Dylan Williams to Chelsea. Luke Plange, of course, was snapped up by Crystal Palace at a cut price. I mean, he is right, but that, unfortunately, that just happens. You know, you remember Leeds United back in the day when
100%.
People were... sadly, that's the nature of the business.
Where inadvertently Manchester United didn't realise what a big financial hole they were in and paid $30 million for Rio Ferdinand when they probably could have paid
$20. Yeah.
Well, and thus saved their great rivals.
It's another... it's just another sad reality of a club being in that position. Mm. And it's the inverse of what was happening with Newcastle United, right? Newcastle United clubs are going, well, you want to go around talking about how you're the richest club in the world. Show me the fibre of your fabric then.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, that is the thing. I think it's one of the things that we never really talked about that much off the back of the transfer window, about how Chris Wood shaped the whole European market, really. Because when that move happens, all of a sudden, like, everyone you speak to in Spain, France, anywhere else they're trying to buy players from, like straight away, well, don't say you haven't got the money. Don't say you're not prepared to spend the money. We've just seen you spend $25 million on Chris Wood. And maybe that eventually stopped them getting Diego Carlos, for example.
Maybe Andy.
So it's a sad situation. It's what you worry for with Derby is that, like, they obviously are being filleted, and it's very, and one thing they did have, I think, it's fair to say, was a real siege mentality, and they also had a bit of momentum. Mm. If you look at their results before these last three outings, they were doing okay. They were kind of defying expectations. At one point, they won three championship games in a row, even against one of the games was against West Brom, I think. Obviously, okay, fine. They've just sat their manager and all the rest of it, and we'll come on to that. But they are a good team, and so losing that local derby is tough. Then losing to Huddersfield, I think they had a man sent off really early on in that as well, which is just unfortunate. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you worry for them now because they really haven't got a huge amount of wriggle room if they are going to do what would be amazing to witness. Mm-hmm. It will just get harder and harder because they're still 7 points off it and they've played more games than everyone else around them.
Indeed. Well, you mentioned West Brom there. They've sacked Valerian Ismail after 7 months in charge. They were top of the Championship at the end of September with a 10-game unbeaten streak. And they're now only in the playoffs on goal difference, 8 points behind second place Blackburn. I mean, they started very well, of course. And I think a lot of people thought it was maybe them, Fulham, and perhaps Bournemouth that would be battling it out for the top two. And that doesn't seem to be the case. Although with the Championship, Andy, you never know. Twists and turns and all that. Fans apparently were not happy with Valball, as they called it, which he called his style vertical football, something like that. They liked a long ball.
They signed Andy Carroll in the transfer window on a free.
Well, now what's he going to do?
I feel sorry for a big Andy.
That is the thing. I mean, we're seeing it at all levels, the lack of joined up thinking with, I mean, for a start, they gave Ismail a pretty long contract. Mm-hmm. They paid a lot to spring him from Barnsley in the first place.
Yeah, he did an all right job at Barnsley.
He did a great job. Yeah. They give him what he wants in January. It's a bit like Rafa Benitez getting everything he wants and then getting fired the week afterwards.
Yeah.
But it's like, you get him the centre forward he wants, for example, or the centre forward he can get in the situation which is closest to what he wants, and then you bin him straight away. Well, I don't get it.
I understand that, Andy, but to give West Brom a little bit of credit here, so you talk about the joined up thinking, so you get rid of Ismail and you the vertical style, Andy Carroll's coming in. Who then do you turn to? Do you go for? You don't want to go for something completely different because that wouldn't be joined up thinking, right? We hear that Steve Bruce is in advanced talks for the position. There's your joined up thinking. Yeah. Hey, they've got a plan, Andy. They've got a plan. So don't disrespect
that. I think that's really just depressing for West Brom fans.
Former Aston Villa and Birmingham City manager.
I think
he was at Newcastle for a bit as well.
Wasn't covered much and impressed that.
He likes a challenge.
He does.
But I think I wouldn't be an expert in West Brom at all. So forgive me if this is wrong, but I'm also fairly certain the reason they had to bring in Andy Carroll is because they brought in Daryl Dyke, who's a good young prospect, big strong forward, who then got almost instantly injured. I think he only played a couple of games for them, so they had to bring in cover. And tellingly as well, I think, is that the guy whose name escapes me now, so forgive me, who was making decisions and effectively running the club was hugely inexperienced, and he's also gone. So they've just brought in. I think they've brought in someone else to essentially be the football director or the CEO, whatever.
I'd be
over the top of that.
I'd be interested to know whether he's given a little less rope because the fans don't really like the football? I mean, I'd be interested. Obviously, you can't really answer that for me. West Brom fans could answer that for me, but
I also just get the impression I've seen them live this season. I've seen them a couple of times on here and there. They do look quite brittle as well. I mean, you talk about, I don't know how much could be made of the style of football Ishmael played, but when I saw them live, they were very, very one-dimensional, mm-hmm. very tough, yeah. very direct, very physical, and Fulham played them off the park when I saw
them. But that can get you out the Championship, as Neil Warnock knows.
But they've got nothing else. And I think if you look at their record recently under Ishmael, mm-hmm. They've won 3 games in their last 12 or whatever. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, you have to say, barring something particularly impressive, they've probably set fire to their chance of getting top two now, because those teams at the top won't drop enough points probably.
Yeah.
So they're looking at playoffs, and that can be a bit of a lottery.
It can be, but you know, you're in the playoffs, you can still win it. I mean, I think that, you know, they had an impressive start, and as I say, you know, he thinks this will get us out of the division, and it might well have done, but they're dropping like a stone. I mean, look, you can't ignore the fact that since the new owners took over in September 2016, they've had 8 managers. Pulis, yeah. Pardew, Darren Moore, Jimmy Shan, Slaven Bilic, Sam Allardyce, and now Ishmael is the latest. I mean,
I wonder how he ended up with this philosophy of playing the game, because if you look at his playing career, mm-hmm. and you think, double at Werder Bremen, double at Bayern Munich.
I don't really remember him much as a player.
No, well, I don't.
The thing is, before he ended up at Werder Bremen and Bayern playing that main chunk of his career, he had 4 games with Crystal Palace, including one of the worst games that I think I've ever seen a Premier League player have. When Wimbledon,
was he centre-half, was he?
Yeah, when Wimbledon beat Palace 3-0 at Selhurst Park, and he made Carl Lieburn look like Christian Vieri for 45 minutes. And I just wonder if he came off the back of that and said, I've seen Lieburn, I've seen the light, this is the way that football should be played.
Maybe, yeah, this is the way forward.
We wait for that quote, Andy.
Also, we talked a bit about this in the context of Arsenal a week or two ago, whenever it was, about the discipline situation. If you to underpin the point I made about West Brom's physicality, I think they've had 6 red cards in the last couple of months.
Yeah,
which doesn't help you. In one of the games, they had 2 red cards in the same game, so that doesn't help you either. Because then you have to deal with suspensions. You know, it's very difficult to grind out wins if you're not playing for 11 players. Mm. All the rest of it. So, having said what I've said, though, they have, as you've said, Marcus, gone through quite a lot of managers. So maybe people might think they've gone a little bit early with this one, but that's what they've been doing.
Yeah. Well, talking of a direct style, if you will, Sunderland are going to interview Roy Keane for their managerial vacancy.
I think they should be contractually obliged to interview Roy Keane.
Absolutely right.
The only sad thing about it would be we won't get him on the TV as much.
Yeah. Well, no, post-match.
But not as
that.
A pundit.
Yeah, it would still be the same.
He can't slag everyone else off, though.
But he
won't have watched a big game if he's been managing Sunderland that day, will he?
He never gives the impression that he's watched a game anyway.
I think, do a YouTube channel.
I think we'll be fine, yeah. But I think that Michael Richards should then become a touchline reporter, so he gets to interview in post-game. How funny would that be?
Screaming laughter.
You've just been beaten 3-0, right?
That'd be brilliant. That would be brilliant. I'd be definitely up for seeing that.
I don't
live in a cave, Gary.
It's an interesting dynamic if you think they've got, like, what, 25, 26-year-old chairman? That plus Roy Keane. I mean, that's an interesting... Oh, yeah,
he's going to get the job, isn't he? Because he's going to
be... Cillian Louis-Dreyfus, yeah.
He's going to be too... French, Swiss? French?
French.
I think he's French. He's a billionaire. He's 25.
Yeah, his mum owned Marseille, yeah.
Yeah,
he's going to be too scared to turn him down. Yeah. I mean, if you get into a room one-on-one with Roy Keane and you're only in your mid-20s, you'd be a pretty special operator to not be intimidated by that.
Apparently, the reports say he's got support within the club and he's seen as the type of character that's needed to reignite Sunderland's promotion bid, because they're in there. Are they third, are they? Or certainly in the playoff spots, they're not far off the top, but they did get thumped 6-0 by Bolton.
For context, Roy Keane once said that when he was managing Sunderland and he came in on the Monday morning, one of his coaches professed to have not watched the Clásico the night before, and Roy, quote, wanted to sack him on the spot. I should have sacked him on the spot for not watching the game.
That is excellent. He's not been a number one since 2011 with that wonderful spell at Ipswich Town. He's been an assistant since at Republic of Ireland, Aston Villa and Nottingham Forest, of course.
Yeah.
But when you're a man like Roy Keane, you know, you're always fresh from the fight, aren't you?
Fresh for the fight.
Fresh for the fight, yeah. I should say. What about Roy Hodgson, going back to the Premier League? He conducted his first press conference as Watford manager yesterday. He reiterated Ranieri's feelings that the squad is more than good enough to stay up, of course. But this is what we want from Roy Hodgson. He said the job offer came completely out of the blue and it was hard to resist. And he said it was quite literally the siren call from the mermaid. as the sailor passes by on his ship. They got the right mermaid going past the right ship.
It's confusing, isn't it?
Is he the sailor or the mermaid?
It's confusing. Because I start off thinking about him as a sailor with a nice little jaunty angle on his cap.
With
a striped shirt.
That's what I like that.
Glass of something good in the hand.
Up the Thames.
Yeah. And then I end it by thinking of him quite literally the bottom half of a fish.
With shells on his nipples.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Scallops on his tits. As Peter Mannion would say. Yeah.
Andy, anything to contribute?
What? Roy Hodgson trying to prove his hit by misusing literally. I mean,
I know. That is sad. Uh-huh. That is sad to see from such a learned man.
Roy, we don't want you to meet us halfway. Never change.
No, exactly.
Never change.
Captain Roy. Yeah. But though, Watford, you say, it's a good appointment getting Hodgson, don't we? Sort of.
Yeah, it is. I mean, we talked about this a little while back, didn't we? And you said before Newcastle United appointed Eddie Howe, they might have had a look at him. I think there's something to be said for that. He's a huge advantage. And of course, the fact that they've got much better defenders than they did at the start of the month. Because whatever Hodgson's plan, if you've got the defence that Watford had at the start of the season, I just reckon you're not staying up with that.
Yeah.
Well, whereas now there's a glimmer, maybe.
Yeah, well, he spoke about the game against Burnley soon, which is obviously an important one. Watford got a couple of games in hand.
Saturday, yeah.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Can I push you for a prediction, Andy? Who do you think? Do you think Watford?
I can give you one if you want.
Yeah, go on then.
I think he'll get them. I think in many ways the Burnley games come too early.
Yeah.
They would like to be playing that in a few games' time, because what Hodgson will do is he will drill them over and over and over again until it becomes second nature to move in the patterns they need to move in.
This is how you stay up.
Yeah, they will start picking up points, and they've got a really good chance of staying up, I think, if he can do what he did at Palace, right? The fact they're playing Burnley so early is a question mark over it. But if I was going to be pushed, I would say, looking at the Premier League table and looking at the games Watford have got left, I think they might stay up. I think there's a chance they'll stay up.
Which would mean, surely, that Norwich, Newcastle and Burnley, unless Everton get dragged into it, or maybe someone like Leeds, maybe Brentford, you know, they're on a bad downturn.
I think Watford are going down.
You think Watford are going down? Right,
okay. Now you've said that, I think they will not stay up.
Yeah, okay. Oh, well, we could see the captain sink and the mermaid drown. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, the analogy using the mermaid, what the analogy exists for is the boat being drawn onto the rocks and crashing.
Yes.
And everyone dying.
Yeah, which is why I'm surprised he used it.
Yeah.
Well, there we are.
It would be nice if, like, with this seafaring thing in mind, he'd sort of showed his strength on the touchline by rolling up his shirt sleeves and revealing loads of old sailor tattoos.
The anchor tattoos on the arm. Yeah. So mum and dad underneath.
Yeah, sort of fail we may, sail we must.
Yeah. Yeah. Calm seas don't make for great sailors. I'd like the idea of him maybe riding past. I think the analogy he should have used is he was riding past a tower on a horse and Watford let down their hair and he climbed up it and saw...
And the rest of the teams of the boat and they all crash.
And said, where's Troy Deeney? And everyone said, he's gone.
Yeah, he's away.
Yeah, let's hope he's not singing My Heart Will Go On at the end of the season.
Oh, I think we're hoping he is singing that.
Yeah, absolutely right, Andy. Absolutely right.
I'd love that. Watford stay up on the final day and Roy does a full version of Celine Dion's My Heart Will Go On.
You don't sing that if you stay up, do you? Have you not seen Titanic?
Oh, yeah. Good point.
And also, with a club and Sir Elton in among their ranks, they're singing I'm Still Standing, surely.
It's a duet.
Yeah, okay.
Elton on the piano, Roy in a lovely cocktail dress. Sat on the piano doing a kind of a lounge room version of I'm Still Standing.
Well, I'm still standing.
Don't take the piss. Yeah.
You're not standing. Well, I think I am. right, everybody. On the Continent is going to be out later today. For your listening pleasure and mine, Nicky Bandini joins Andy and Dotton to discuss how Barcelona will use Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang. Because he's gone there. He has gone there. Also, the winners and losers of the transfer window in Italy, and a little look back on Lyon's win against Marseille, where Jerdan Shaqiri once again showed his quality. Didn't he, Andy? get over to Football Ramble Presents for that.
Can I just say, was it last week you talked about players writing their contracts down?
Yeah. Yes.
That was brilliant. And if you're listening to this now and you haven't listened to last week's OTC, where the guys talk about the influence of American sport on potentially players, top players now running their contracts down rather than moving for big fees. It was fascinating and I would recommend you listen to it.
And we did a bit of a Union Saint-Gilloise, didn't we?
Exactly.
For you Brighton fans.
Yeah.
Get involved, everybody. Yeah. Thank you very much for listening to The Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network. On tomorrow's show, Kate, Luke and Vish.
Interesting.
Ooh, what's the dynamic going to be for the game? Who knows? Tune in tomorrow to find out.
I'm fresh from a whitewash win.
Yeah, you are.
I can only beat Pete, basically.
Are you going to have another pop at Vish or another confidence?
I want to go to the title. I don't want to get the title. It's a bit like...
It's not for us to decide right
it's
now.
It's true. It's the algorithm.
It is.
It's the algorithm.
The algorithm with the hosts now as well.
I can't get near Vish, so we'll see.
Well, we'll see. Maybe tomorrow might tell a different story. Anyway, until then, thank you very much, Luke Moore.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Andy Brassel.
Ta-ta.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. See you very, very soon.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear, and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.